highest rated restaurant in the world went vegan. So I'm not going to go there now.
Amen.
They raised their prices from $350 for the 22 courses to like $390 because they went vegan. And then the New York Times critic hammered them. They're all up in arms about it because he said they make their vegetables and they try to present them like they're meat. He said, just serve meat.
Right.
And, you know, they make these dishes with vegetables. You know, the Impossible Whopper. We were in Wellsville the other night. I ordered, and I realized I might have ordered the wrong Whopper. And I almost went ballistic on that girl with the rainbow earrings. And I said, that's a meat Whopper, right? She's like, oh, yes, yeah. I said, okay, I'm not eating that. You know, impossible. Well, it is impossible. It's fake.
That's right.
Nothing's real. So many people live under that shroud. And I'll just say this while we're here. You know, we have a lady in our church is burying her brother. Friends in our church burying brother-in-law, uncle. Not even 48 years old, I don't believe. Buried him tomorrow. He died of natural causes. Died suddenly. And I looked at the obituary in the paper. I saw some other people in that same list of obituaries younger than me. And there's one that stood out, and in the picture, she would have been an attractive young lady when she was younger. I know they always put older pictures in there. And it just struck me as odd because of just how it was worded, died her home unexpectedly, younger than me. And I just immediately thought this, and I scrolled down and said, donations may be made to Suicide Prevention Center of Central Pennsylvania. Just the list grows.
Right.
2 men in Shippensburg just last week, I believe it was, brothers in their 40s. They both died unexpectedly at home, just in the obituary. No wives, no children. Just died unexpectedly at home. Dug a little bit. They just together agreed, suicide pact. They shot themselves. That's where our nation is. Well, because nothing's real.
Right.
We have family. Both sides of our family have people that have either committed suicide or spouses of immediate family or direct, indirect family, cousins, second cousins, uncle, committed suicide. Nothing is real. They built this facade of life. And nothing was real to them.
That's right.
And as soon as the one thing they built the highest comes tumbling down, they have no recourse, they feel, but to take their own life, their own hand. And it's a horrible place to be. Right. It's a vile place to be. Yet it's replicated across this nation. Suicides are catching overdoses, and overdoses are skyrocketing alarmingly.
Yes, sir.
And they're catching overdoses. People today, there's ways you can do it and claim innocence so that your family can get your life insurance policy. And the insurance companies, they'll sue and keep in court for 5 years. They don't have to pay it out immediately, draw interest on it, but family eventually gets the money. People are hopeless. Yet when you try to talk about Christ, they don't want to hear it. The one thing that can help them in this life, they don't want to hear it.
That's right.
I know multiple preachers, no, I don't personally know them, know of them, for various reasons, have taken their own life. Preachers' wives, preachers' daughters, young preacher, just recently. And that one, some of you are familiar with it, but I personally know the young lady and her father, and hadn't been married a year. He stabbed her, shot himself. Mm. She did survive. Then you read this glowing obituary about, you know, this tremendous Christian and his struggles, and I don't buy that for a bit because of what Travis Clayton said.
That's right.
I said, I don't buy that for a bit.
That's right.
People need help, and they don't want to admit they need help.
Right.
Jesus Christ doesn't leave you helpless. Kept by the power of God. There was a young lady that took her 2-year-old, stepped out in front of a tractor trailer, 2-year-old survived, was severely brain damaged, will never be the same. Left a note for her husband to find, and had a newborn at home, and just said, I didn't want my 2-year-old to grow up with the same life that I had. There's a tract written about her, about how much she loved God and how she served the Lord, how much she loved she wasn't Jesus Christ. I read it often, and I just ask the Lord, Lord, what can I do to help these people?
That's right.
Take your own life. You don't love Jesus Christ. You love yourself. You don't love your family. Love yourself.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know what it's like to be suicidal. I do not know. I've known many people. I've had many phone calls. I've sat up night, in the middle of the night for days with people that were suicidal. I don't know what that's like. But I know where the cure is.
That's right.
We should drop in a facade and start to be real honest. Start to be real honest with God.
Right.
We don't know the motives. I wouldn't try to guess the motives, but I understand why a woman in her 40s with 3 children, a husband, career, paramedic, otherwise she'd kill herself. But the reality is, I do know why. She had no hope. She had no hope. The addict kills himself sometimes accidentally, sometimes on purpose, because there's no hope. Feels hopeless. The pornographer gets hopeless because he can't get cured, can't stop. God's trying to awaken us to these things, and nobody wants to talk about it, just like the perversion, nobody wants to talk about it.
That's right.
The fornication, adultery, sodomy, pornography, it's just infiltrated our churches.
Yes.
I didn't say our churches.
Right.
Nobody wants to talk about that, but it's reality.
That's right.
I talk about this in church sometimes, and some of the best churches I go in, I watch young men hang their heads. Because even the very best churches, it's God's hooks in people. I think the very best churches is people that sit there so hopeless. I've heard many people with my own ears. Some of you have family that have said it to me. Said, if I didn't know I'd go to hell, I would have killed myself. But I knew I'd go to hell. Luke 19. I'll read one verse and I'll tell a story. This is not a doctrine. This is not a parable. This is a story. It's a real people. It's a real event. It's a historical event. It's an absolute truth. Verse 10. For the Son of Man is, that's present tense, and can I say he still is today.
Amen.
Right.
Is come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's why he's come.
That's right.
He's come to seek and to save that which was lost. He didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners. This is a real man. This is a real person. This is a real pursuit. He had a real problem. They went to a real place. There was a press.
Right.
There was a probability. He was a publican. He had a passion. And provision was made. You say, where'd you get that? Well, Colin Gilgal, I just made it up. Did you have some divine revelation? No, I just made it up one day. But it's a real person we're dealing with here. Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, stop, take notice of this, look at this. There's a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and he could not for the press because he was little of stature. That was his problem. He sought to see Jesus, but because he was little of stature, he could not see Jesus. So what did he do? Go blow his brains out? Go cry that he couldn't find Jesus? Go cry that God wouldn't save him? He ran before, climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. Why do you run? Usually you're desperate. Mm-hmm. One of my children was in great distress. I'd risk a hamstring, groin pull, broken ankle, broken leg, dislocated hip to get to where they were.
Sure.
I'd run. We see that in the city of refuge. What does that slayer of the innocent, what does he do? He flees the city of refuge. What does that mean? He wants to run and get there before the avenger of blood. That young man in the hog pen, what did he do? He ran. He ran home. What did his father do? Saw him and ran to him. Why? There's a desperation. What did Zacchaeus do? He didn't lament his plight, and whine about it, and blame everybody else, and blame society, and blame his parents. And, oh, if I just had better genetics, if I just had better upbringing, if I had better nutrition when I was a boy. No, he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him. For he was to pass that way. He sought to see Jesus Christ. He wanted to see who he was. He wanted to see the Son of God. He'd heard about him and he had done everything in his life to make money, was rich, was the chief of the publicans, but all of a sudden a name came across his desk. It was this name of this man, Jesus Christ. And there was something just in that name that intrigued him. Something in that name was a draw to him. And he said, I need to go see this man. When he got to where he could see him, he couldn't see him because he had a problem. So what did he do? He took the highest probability. He went ahead and climbed up in a sycamore tree. When Jesus came to the place, and notice this in verse 10, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save. Now, you can say it's happenstance if you like. Right here's one of the proofs that a seeking sinner and a seeking Savior will meet.
That's right.
Because he's come to seek and to save, but that sinner will seek him, as we talked about in the book of Amos. He'll find what he's looking for.
No doubt.
Jesus came to where he was. And he came to see Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste, and notice these three words, and come down. How did they receive him? Word of God told us this. He made haste and came down and received him joyfully. I don't want to quote this wrong. John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. What did Zacchaeus do? He received him joyfully.
Right.
Jesus Christ came to where he was. He had come to seek and to save that which was lost. Zacchaeus has climbed up in the sycamore tree to see Jesus Christ. He sought him. What does that mean? He was seeking him. He sought him. Jesus Christ found him. He made haste and came down and received him joyfully. When they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. The first mention of Jesus Christ coming is the mention in the Gospels concerning the birth of Christ. Where is he that is come? Those wise men came. What did they say? Where is he that is come? King of the Jews. We have seen his star in the east. A cup to worship. Even they knew that Jesus Christ was come. Zacchaeus knew that Jesus Christ was come. I hope today we know that Jesus Christ has come. Jesus Christ is come. Jesus Christ is coming again. Jesus Christ is seeking. Jesus Christ is saving. Present tense.
Amen.
So past
right.
tense. It's today. There's a divine appointment that Zacchaeus had with the Holy One of Israel. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." It's interesting that he's not too concerned about the accusation that he's a sinner. When they make the accusation, he just tells Jesus Christ exactly what his problem is. He knows he's a thief. He's not worried about what men say.
Right.
He's not worried of their accusation that Jesus Christ came and died for the sinner. He knew Jesus Christ was dying for the sinner. The accusation was true. He said, "If I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." And Jesus said unto him, "This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham." So he had that appointment with Jesus Christ. He had intervention from Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ saw him as he also saw Christ. This is a story. It's important to understand things in this story, but there's several things that we must look at in this. For the Son of Man has come, that's present tense, to seek and to save that which was lost. A woman swept her house. Why? She lost silver.
Right.
She swept that house until she found. Then she called her names and rejoiced with me. Why, that which was lost is found.
Amen.
The shepherd lost one sheep. And he rejoiced. He said, "Do you rejoice with me? I found that one sheep that was lost." There's rejoicing over one lost sheep more than 99 just not having need of repentance. Or having no need of repentance. Then the next story Jesus Christ tells of the young man that goes into the hog pen. He fain would fill his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. Yet he came to himself. And what did he do? He went to his father. He knew there was food at his father's table. He knew there was help in a place that he had been, where whence he came. When his father beheld him a great way off,
right,
he ran to him. What did he do? He came to the father. What did Zacchaeus do? He came to Jesus Christ. What did Jesus Christ do? He came to where he was. Mm-hmm. One thing, and this is going to weigh in on this gently. I want to be gentle about this. Zacchaeus came as a little child. It wasn't boasting. It wasn't foolishness. It wasn't brashness.
Right.
He's up in a sycamore tree.
That's right.
Right.
I say this not being funny, and it's not any kind of glory to me at all, but the last time I saw a man sitting in a tree listening to preaching, it was a Filipino communist guerrilla. There were a couple of them hanging out in the big mango trees while we were preaching outdoor service up in the mountains north of Luwan. And the pastor, I've told the story many times, and most of you heard me say it, but that's when the pastor came to me and he said, "Brother May, please, please do not preach against communism in this service." I said, "Well, I normally don't, but you know." He said, "Well," he goes, "we have Americans come in here and they hear about communists and they preach against communists." He goes, "They're a communist. These men are communist guerrillas up in the trees." I said, "Oh, I'm definitely not preaching. Don't worry about that. We're going to preach Jesus Christ high and lifted up. No problem." This man stood up in those mango trees, listened to the preaching of the Word of God. And so, again, we see Zacchaeus and just the simplicity of a little boy climbing a tree. And up in that tree, looking to look for Jesus Christ to come. How simple. What childlike faith. To just believe what God would do. I always relate back to Naaman. I talked about him just the other day. Some of you were there. And, you know, it wasn't that Jordan, you know, was the greatest place to go be baptized. It'd be like going down here and saying, "You know what, I feel like the Lord wants me to go dip in the Yadkin River today." Well, we drove over the bridge this morning, and I'm not going to get in the Yadkin River for anything today.
That's right.
But God said, "No, Naaman, go get in the river." But we got these clear rivers at home. No child. You listen, no child. It's as simple as go dip yourself in the Jordan River. It's that simple, Naaman. What would a child do? Is a child worried about the mud? No. Is a child worried about getting dirty? No. You know why? Childlike faith. Zacchaeus climbs a tree. How simple. How childlike.
Right.
I mean, let's get liturgical on him. Well, it's not that he had to climb the tree. It's an allegory and a picture of, you know, climbing higher with God. You know, no, it's childlike.
That's right.
Right.
I don't climb trees. I'm not a child. Nathaniel tries. Thankfully, they're all taller than him. At least the lower branches are for now. But in a few years, I'll be sweating bullets while my son climbs trees. And mommy will be in the house screaming. I'll be telling her to hush up and get back in the kitchen and roll out some more biscuits. Hey. That's humor for those of you that don't know. My wife doesn't make biscuits. You have to understand my marriage relationship. It's based on crass, rude, ignorant humor. Anyway, that's just my side of it. I don't know what her side is. That's my side of it. But my wife worries to death over those children. She worries to death over them. I mean, old Pumpkinhead over here, you know, his dad's not worried about him. Amen. I got a picture of old Pumpkinhead. Amen. Out in Nevada's yard. Broken. I don't know if you all saw that picture of broken up old pumpkin crushed down on his head running around in circles. Amen. He's a boy. Childlike.
Right.
It's so simple. You know why he did that? Because everybody's going, hey, Isaiah, go put that pumpkin on your head. He's like, okay.
He's a boy. All it takes.
But he trusts the people telling him that.
Right.
Right.
He trusts them. Hey, boy, go pick up that copperhead snake. Right. Mm-hmm. There's a trust. Why? Childlike. I saw him look up there. He looks at Daddy. Daddy's like, go ahead. I said, that's his son. I don't care. Amen. The old broken pumpkin, put it down on his head and run around. Amen. Everybody laughed. Of course, he loved it. Childlike. Just believe. Trust. Why does Zacchaeus climb a tree? Because he's a child. He just believed God.
Amen.
He said, whatever I got to do to get to Jesus Christ, not concerned what people think, not concerned what the crowd is doing, not concerned. Hey, there's the chief of publicans in a tree. What's more important than that? You want to get to Jesus.
That's right.
I watch as I preach in places where I've watched pride overthrow people, and I'm not an excellent judge of that. Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I don't always see that. Most time, pride's hidden in the heart. But there are some people that proud look overthrows them. They try to shake off that conviction, try to shake off that stirring of God. Why they're too proud when people think about it.
That's right.
But not a child. Mm-hmm. Not a child. Hey, my children weep in front of people.
Sure.
My children weep in front of people. I watch little Zach up here get all teary-eyed while he's up there singing a song. In no time did I go, what a wimp. No.
That's right.
So I've got teary-eyed singing a song. I've got teary-eyed. I got teary-eyed this morning, just me and the Lord out there at 4 o'clock in the morning. I said, all right, teary-eyed this morning. And I think it wasn't some little mystical thing. It was something like this. Well, you know how vile I am.
Right.
Mm-hmm. How wretched I am. Lord, would you show mercy to that church today in spite of me?
That's right.
Childlike. My children don't hide their tears in front of people.
That's right.
As my little boy, he'll come running. He'll come in bawling like, you can make fun of him. You can kick him. Ah, shut up, you big wimp, you big sissy. He's just going to cry harder. He wants help. I watch that proud look overthrow people. They don't want to be seen. First time ever, I think, at youth week. I just made this quick statement. I said, if there's somebody here that needs prayer, I said, quickly, I want just a couple of you preachers to throw your hand up. I watched people deliberately shove their hands down their lap like this. Overthrown by the crowd. I said, overthrown by the crowd.
Yes, sir.
Not Zacchaeus. He slipped out of the crowd, got away from the crowd. Became like a little child and scooted up that tree with childlike faith.
Amen.
You know what he did? He denied himself and followed Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus said, if any man be my disciple, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. We don't want to deny ourselves, do we?
Right.
Right.
The old Fanny Crosby song, take the whole world and give me Jesus. You've heard it said many, many times. Brother Taylor, Brother John, probably your pastor. Old Fanny J says she's holding the world in one hand, trying to hold Jesus Christ in the other hand. The two could not reconcile. No man can serve two masters unless he loved one and hate the other. Some of you were there. We had a pretty heavy discussion this winter of place. It was over that very thought. Do you really love Jesus Christ? I'll tell you how heavy it got that night. It got to the point that finally I just said to her, I said, won't you just tell God you hate him?
That's right.
Remember the one young man just said, I can't do that. I said, just tell God you hate him. You can't serve two masters. You can't serve God and mammon. Tell God you hate him.
Right.
Tell the world you hate him. Tell the world you hate him. Tell the world you hate it. Tell the lust of your flesh you hate it. Tell the pride of your life that you hate it.
Yes, sir. Right.
Let go of it. Let God take over. So Zacchaeus did.
Man.
He believed God, denied himself. I'm going to run through this quick. Let's go to Matthew 16. He came to Jesus Christ, but he came only because Jesus Christ is come seeking to save that which is lost. That's why he's not born of the blood, of the will of flesh, or the will of man, but of God. I told him one place in Maine a couple years ago, and I wasn't trying to go. My brother McFarland goes. You all met Brother McFarland. I told him on Sunday morning, I was in the pulpit, wasn't trying to be arrogant or cocky or foolish or anything else. And I just, how many of you here today got saved because you wanted to be saved? And about two-thirds of them raised their hand, probably against their best judgment. And I said, well, that's not God's salvation. I said, you don't get saved because you want to get saved. And immediately, but I wanted to be saved so bad. No, not near as much as God wants you to be saved.
Right.
That's right.
I didn't initiate this.
Right.
You didn't initiate this. Why are you in church today? Because you wanted to be? No, because God initiated this.
Right.
If there's any desire within you to seek after God, there's any desire the things of God to be around the people of God, God initiated through his son, Jesus Christ,
Amen.
The word of God.
That's right.
If there's any desire, it's God.
That's right.
That's why the natural man, That carnal man, that lost man, there's nothing seeketh after God. Why? Because naturally he will not seek after God.
That's right.
Naturally he does not want to seek after God. But God initiates that. God searches out his heart. God's word doesn't return void to him. And God initiates that deep search.
Sir.
Well, when you have to explain it like that, I watched a church full of people kind of regret putting their hands up. Fine, I did comfort just a little bit. And I just said, if you are saved, I just because that seeking sinner found a seeking Savior. It was God that started the search.
Right.
Zacchaeus didn't go to find Jesus Christ on a whim. He had heard of Jesus Christ. He'd heard that name.
Right.
He'd heard of the miracles he'd done. And he said, you know, I'm going to go to see him. I'm going to go find him. Let me go quickly. Matthew 16 in verse 24. Notice a couple of these words in this. Then Jesus said unto his disciples. And then said Jesus unto his disciples. Notice this little word. Circle that if you need to. If. Maybe they will. Maybe they won't. If. It's up to you. If any man will come after me, there's that beautiful word again, come. Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. But I want you to notice the first part of that second phrase. If any man will come.
Right.
Let me just run through that grammatically. There's a choice. There's a will.
That's right.
There's an action based on the will and the choice that you make. What's the will? If. What's the action?
Come.
What's the choice? If any man will come.
That's right.
Again, I separated this from last week. Intentionally, put a divide there. Why? Because we're in a different place, in a different atmosphere, in a different church, yet God has brought us to this place, and God desires to do a good work. He that has begun a good work will perform it under the day of Jesus Christ. I believe that as much as I'm standing in this pulpit
sure.
today.
Amen. Right.
One of the things we went on and on and on 2 weeks ago. If your will, if the choice, if any man will come,
right,
and deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. John 3, well-known passage, very well-known passage in John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It doesn't say will not, it says should not. They should not perish. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him, and here's another word that goes along with should, might be saved. Why might? He tells us, he that believeth on him is not condemned. That's a choice. That's your will. That's where Zacchaeus resides, right there in that place. If I let the crowd overthrow me, don't want to embarrass myself, don't want to shame myself, I got too much money, got the goods of this world, not concerned about this. No, he ran to that place, got over that sycamore tree, that he might see Jesus Christ. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Right. This is the condemnation, that light is come. There it is again, is come. Jesus Christ is come. The light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Are you listening? Neither cometh to the light, lest his deed should be reproved. I'm not weary. When I hear people constantly say, I want to say, why God won't do this? Why God won't do this? He that cometh to the light.
That's right.
He that cometh to the light. He that cometh to the light. Why won't men come to the light? Don't pin that on God.
That's right.
Lest their deeds should be reproved.
Right.
And he that doeth truth cometh to the light.
Amen.
If you're content living a lie, you can walk in darkness. But if you doeth, and by the way, that's an ongoing tense, that's a continual tense. That's past, present, and future. He that doeth truth. Amen and amen on that.
Right.
Cometh through the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. So we're talking about two deeds. There's the deeds wrought in God. There's the deeds of darkness.
Sure.
God wants to make that manifest. How do you do that? Come. Come.
Man.
John 6. We'll show you the will of the Father here. Verse 39. And I preached this, of course, the other week. Some of you were there for that. But I preached this passage at great length. But this is the Father's will, verse 39. This is the Father's will, which hath sent me that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me.
Amen.
That everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up the last day. You believe that?
Sure.
Amen.
How simple. We had a discussion recently. How simple.
That's right.
As Moses raiseth up the serpent in the wilderness, so must also the Son of Man be lifted up. Jesus said, if I and I be lifted up, I will, that's his will, I will draw all men nigh. I believe unto me there. This is what he says. Yeah, I will draw all men nigh. What do they have to do in the wilderness? Somebody help me out. What did they have to do in the wilderness? Look.
That's right.
Look. How hard were their hearts? Many would not look. That's their will. They would not look. There's the serpent, the brazen serpent, lifted up above the earth. And to survive that snake bite, that venom, all they had to do is look.
Right.
But their hearts were so hard, they wouldn't. You know why their hearts were hard? They would not believe. Surely that's not the cure.
Right.
They dropped dead. It can't be that. They drop dead. There's got to be more than this. Call for the physicians. And they drop dead.
Sir.
Baal, Baal, help us. They drop dead. I'll use my money. I know money will get me out of trouble. They drop dead.
Mm-hmm.
They would not believe. And all they had to do was see him. Look at that serpent that live and that have life. He says, so it is with him. He's lifted up. He'll draw men nigh to me. And he has been lifted up. What do we have to do? Look. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. It's the will of the Father. If you believe on him, you have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at that last day. It's the will of the Father to do that. Verse 35, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh, notice that little word, he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. So what does that tell you? You've got to come believe. You've got to come believe. Why won't you come? You don't believe. And I said unto you that you also have seen me. Believe not, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and I will, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. That's Jesus Christ speaking. He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. So what are we, let's stop and summarize. So why won't men come to him? No, their deeds are evil. They don't want to come to the light unless their deeds be reproved. That's the only reason he gave. He gave no other reason. Their deeds are evil.
Mm-hmm.
How evil is pride? Mm. I mean, how evil is pride? God hateth a proud Lord.
Right.
He hateth a proud Lord.
Yes, sir.
God resisteth the proud.
Stars.
Somebody told me this past week. Said, I try to come. I try to come. And I feel like I'm paralyzed. You know, I told that little girl? That's because you're too proud to come. Too proud.
That's right.
Got a good upbringing, good home, good family, raised in a Christian home, homeschooled, very talented, gifted. Too proud.
Mm-mm-mm.
Too proud! Evil deeds.
Yes, sir.
definitely going to have to answer out loud. What did pride do to you? Send you to hell, won't it? She knows. See, how do you know that? Because she told us. Not reading her mind, she told us.
That's right.
I heard her moan here, so I want pride to send me to hell. Be proud of the evil deeds and won't come to light. Darkness. Love darkness rather than light.
Right.
What other reason did he give? Nothing. He says, is it just pride? No, covetousness. Love of money, the root of all evil. They that would be rich, oh my. They fall in that snare, this hurtful lust. Drown men in perdition. I want more. I want more.
Yes,
I want
sir.
More. You know, a man who was so in discord over money. And people not even spiritual, going, man, is he covetous.
Mm-hmm.
Man, is he outwardly covetous.
Yes, sir.
There's a lot of people inwardly covetous.
Right.
And a lady said she got saved a couple of years back. I was talking to her pastor. Months later, I said, well, brother, what do you think? You know, and it's kind of that environment. Once you say you're saved, God, you're saved. You said you were. I was feeling out. I said, well, you know, what's your, I believe she's saved. I said, what's changed? He goes, oh, a lot of things. He goes, you know, one of the first things I noticed. Is everybody listening? He goes, I noticed she's not interested in fashion anymore. I said, she's not interested in fashion anymore. Are we okay?
Mm.
I said, that's a pretty good sign. Mm. Amen. I said, that's a pretty good sign.
Right.
A little covetousness.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. I was going through the Goodwill rack yesterday. And I was with all them cheap Chinese garbage fall apart shirts. I came across a nice shirt. I mean, a nice shirt. One of those top brands. And I said, you know, I wouldn't wear that shirt if you paid me $1,000 to wear that shirt. Just because that man molests little boys that designs those shirts.
That's right.
And I said, well, Calvin's going back on the rack. Amen and amen.
Good for you. Amen.
Amen.
Pride's a privilege.
Better believe it. She's not interested in fat. You know why? Covetousness. Covetousness. The more I have, the better off I'll be. Go read Ecclesiastes and find off how good Solomon was in that. He said, the wise man dieth as the fool. He said, we're all going the same way. We're all going to the grave. It's all vanity. There's no profit under the sun. It's all vanity, he said. The richest man, the wisest man, had more than any man's ever had. He said, it's all vanity. Why don't you come to the light? Oh, covetousness. Pride. Evil deeds. There's things that in my life, my wife doesn't know about me. You don't know about me. Nobody knows about me. But where in the world would I get a notion that God doesn't know?
That's right.
How foolish. How foolish. I remember the man, I won't say a whole lot. I didn't count about 2 cents worth. He came into the church where I was and looked around at people that were dressed up and, you know, and attended. You know, the same crowd was there Sunday morning, was there Tuesday. You know, they didn't just have a Sunday morning crowd. But most preachers aren't used to that. Most churches have 100 on Sunday morning, 30 on Sunday night, 10 on Wednesday night. Just reality.
That's right.
And he just said, by looking, he said, man, it's just wonderful to see all these safe folk and dressed right in the house of God. And I know my niece has heard me say this probably a dozen times. I remember just looking around going, I know these people. They only dress right because you're coming. That's the only reason. A book. I won't say what book. Went to such and such a church. One of the best churches in America. They dressed right. They attended the services faithfully. And they bought the books off my table. That's a true statement. What a qualifier.
God help us.
What a qualifier. Man, they must be some model Christians.
That's right, preacher.
Not a clue that they'll dress this way at home. Not a clue that they never read the books. Not a clue that they're mostly lost without hope in this dark world because they've never dealt with the sin of their heart. But outwardly being judged and somebody patting them on the head for an outward appearance when God is sickened by what he sees on the inside. I said God is sickened by what he sees on the inside. That pride, that covetousness, that wickedness. The lust of the flesh. I had a 60-year-old man. He said, brother, I'll tell you how wicked I am. This preacher. I said, tell me, brother. I love when people tell me how wicked they are. Man, it just floats my boat, puffs me up. You know, man, I'm never as wicked as they are. Never. Let me tell you how wicked I am. I said, tell him. Come on, tell him.
Yeah.
He knows I'm going to be a preaching illustration for the next 12, 13 years. He said, I'm 400 pounds. I've had 2 heart attacks and a major stroke. He said, I can't hear out of my left ear. He said, I stink. I can't bathe properly. He said, I'll still see that little cute little waitress down at the Cracker Barrel. He said, my little wicked flesh, I'll go, man, if I wanted to, I could still have that.
That's right, preacher.
And he said, and I go to the bathroom and look in the mirror, and I'm going, what is wrong with you? Come on now.
That's right.
Right.
Amen.
That's right.
Oh, lust of flesh.
Yes, sir, buddy.
I said, oh, lust of flesh.
That's right.
Amen. It'll get you.
That's right, boy.
God hates it. God hates that proud look. You still suck your gut in when a lady walks by?
Ooh-wee.
Just ask her. Why? It's in there.
That's right.
That's right.
It's in there. We're doing okay. I listen. I would have got that. We'll be done right after that. Amen.
That's right.
It's good, preacher.
Tell you what, saved us all a lot of time and trouble if I just went ahead and just preached the whole week, got it done today. You know, we just vacate. Maybe we just go have barbecues and go to the park. Hey, man, ride motorcycles. I mean, we just preach all day today, skip the rest of the week. That'd be good, wouldn't it? Save on gas. So say amen. Help me out a little bit. It's in there.
It's in there.
But you got to reconcile it to God. I said, you've got to reconcile it to God. That's what you've got to reconcile it with. Why is it in there? Is it just work of the flesh or is it in my heart? Is this a work of my flesh or is this something that's ingrained in me because of who I am? Am I just this vile? People say, oh, it's not my heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, man speaketh. As a man speaketh in his heart, so is he. Say this statement inside your heart. No one will ever know. No one will ever know. The echo of the sentiment of every criminal incarcerated in the United States penal system today. Come on now. No one will ever know.
There's something.
Millions of men and women, just in the United States, friend of mine called me on his 18th birthday. You know, you know how you have weird memories. I can't remember yesterday, but I remember this from, you know, from 30 years ago. Calls me on his 18th birthday, Johnny Carson's last show. I was watching it. Yeah, can you come get me? I was like, yeah, what do you need? I'm down at Sheets, I need a ride. I'm like, yeah, I can come, where you at? Oh, I gotta go, I hear sirens. I'm like, yeah, I think I'm gonna avoid this one. Threw a brick through a plate glass window of a liquor store. Him and his cousin marched in, everything he carried, they got armfuls of liquor and booze. Marched out into a field, his cousin gashed his arm open, was dripping blood the whole way, blood all over the front of the store. They hid in the field where the cops were investigating. When the cops left, they decided to walk to Sheets because they were hungry. You know what he told me? We never imagined we'd get caught.
Right.
We never imagined we'd get caught. Well, you know, some people got away with stuff. I got away with so many things. And then God caught me.
Ooh. Thank God.
Then God caught me.
Tried.
I had a buddy in high school. He was a jerk, still is. That's when I saw he was a jerk. He was a shoplifter. Professional. He'd say, hey, what kind of bat do you want? Back then, Easton, you know, the Easton double walls were just coming in. They were the big thing. Those gold Eastons. Guys, man, I want an Easton double wall. I'll get you one. He'd put cargo pants. He'd go in the store, be looking, shove down his cargo pants, pull his trench coat over, walk out of the store with a ball bat. He'd steal ball gloves, CDs, tapes back then, some CDs. I mean, he was just a shoplifter. You know how he got caught? Stealing a 99-cent pair of sunglasses. You know what happened to him? He decides to vault over a lady in a wheelchair, catches her in the head with his foot, knocks her out of the wheelchair. I never thought I'd get caught. By the way, you knock a lady in the head, vaulting over her, police don't like that. His mugshot was legendary. Never thought I'd get caught. Can you imagine a low-down snaky? I mean, there's nothing worse than a thief, brother. Liar and a thief. God hates a liar. God hates a thief. We can understand if somebody's feeding their family, but just a common thug shoplifter.
Right.
That is, that's all covetousness.
That's right.
Stealing from work.
Sir.
I said stealing from work, stealing from family.
Amen.
I've never I grew up with them. Rob their mom's blind. Steal everything their mom has had. You know why? Because they're wicked.
That's right.
Their deeds are evil. And they lie about it. They lie to themselves. They lie to the police. They lie to the judges. They lie to their family. They lie to God. And they go, I'm seeking God. I don't believe that.
That's right.
Right.
For he that comes to God must believe that he is. If you believe that he was, you'd fear him. There'd be a trembling.
That's right.
I know we're in the manure pile, but I'm just digging down. And once in a while, you find something hot down there. Just try to, a lot of steam and try to get it out of there.
That's right.
See, it's not pleasant. Well, you ought to be a preacher. You think it's fun digging in the manure pile of your life? It's not pleasant.
That's right.
But it's the reality of the human heart. I preached last Saturday morning, probably one of the most feeble, wimpiest messages I've probably preached in 10 years. I had three different people come up to me and say, oh my goodness, Brother Faye, you preached my life. All I was doing was talking about all this goofy, stupid stuff I did when I was a boy and how wicked I was. And three different people come up to me and said, Brother Faye, you preached my life Saturday morning. That was me. One guy said, that is still me. Lying little snake, can't be honest about anything, hides everything, can't be honest with my parents. My wife and I were discussing yesterday this matter. You know, Brother John Astor talks about having that open supper table. You know, my wife and I were talking about that. I said, the problem is most children lie.
Right.
I said, most children lie.
Right.
We got this open supper table, but they lie. What'd you do today? Oh man, I studied hard. Did you really? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I studied hard. Yeah, I was up in my room for hours. Studying? Oh, yeah. What'd you learn? They lie, make stuff. You know what?
all lies.
So when I went to school today, oh man, all the other kids, you know, all the other kids, oh man, you know, girls dressed like whores and guys are like a bunch of queers, and you know, but you know, I maintain my composure, you know. You're sneaking around, changing the clothes when you leave the house. Come on now.
Right.
Hey man, dress it different, lying to mom and dad, covering up, hide. You know how many this courting thing, I know there's people that get mad at courting, blow it out, whatever the case is. Listen, you do what God tells you to do, you obey what your parents tell you to do. You better have safeguards in place. You end up in a pigsty. Do you listen?
Right.
You better have safeguards in place, you end up in a pigsty.
That's right.
You end up in a pigsty.
That's right.
I had people say to me, Brother McVeigh, you know, if somebody's ever interested, you know, would you be, you know, my dad's not in the picture. Would you help maybe have some oversight, maybe give some advice? And you know how many have ever came to me to advice? Not one. Bunch of liars. Run off and get married. Don't mention one thing to me about it, liar.
That's right.
Bunch of shacking up, fornicating. Don't mention it to me, liar.
That's right.
One guy got caught in fornication. Tried to deny, got caught. Liar.
That's right.
Oh, is this what God's best for me? I don't want to have any kind of communication with somebody of the opposite sex unless it's God's will. Ah, that's the biggest bunch of lies. This is about the fakest bunch of turkey junk I've ever heard of.
That's right.
We love it. Man, we love it. In our flesh, we love it. We love the attention. We love when somebody smiles at us. We love when somebody winks at us. We love when somebody just even grins our way. Why? Because we got evil deeds.
Right, preacher.
Then we lie about it.
That's exactly right.
That's why I tried to talk him out of it. He tried to talk me out of it. Now, I'm not being funny about that in some ways. We're sitting up there in Michigan. Actually, I did more in West Virginia. He showed me a picture. I'm like, ah! I showed him a picture. I'm like, you know. What are you thinking? What's wrong with you? I'm not being funny about it. We really were doing that. Just trying to make sure. Can you imagine being so shallow, being so thin-skinned? That would bother you. Well, Brother McVeigh doesn't like her. I better not. I mean, pretty stupid, wouldn't it? Gracie's probably glad you didn't do that, eh, man? I mean, I'd be a big wimp. Brother Zach doesn't think Rebecca's pretty. You know what? I better not do this. I'd be a wimp.
That's right.
But if I had to see something serious, I would have had to go up against the wall. I would have said, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? Better believe it. You know I'm telling the truth. What's wrong with you? I've told others that. What's wrong with you? Last person I had to kind of talk with, this is my words. I'm not for it. I'm never going to be against it. I'm never going to bring it up again. Let me tell you right now. I'm dead against it. That's all I said. You see, you lose friends that way. Not a real friend.
Not a real friend.
Right.
Not a real friend. It's a friend of at all times.
That's
there is a friend that's getting closer to you, brother.
Amen.
Get your little feelings hurt, wear your feelings on your sleeve, all been out of shape, gossiping, deceiving, lying about people, spreading rumors, spreading gossip, evil deeds.
Right.
Backbiting, evil deeds. Slander, evil deeds.
Right.
The wicked have forged a lie against thee. What does that mean? They took a lie and they created it, they forged it. Just like you forge a check. They create that lie and they propagate. You know what? Evil deeds.
Right.
Telephone, telegram, telemat. Amen. Man's reputation.
That's right.
That was the man's reputation.
That's right.
Gossiper, gossip, 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 gossip.
That's right.
Made old women look tame.
Sure.
Perfect. Amen. Not that you're old, sis, but you know, you're older than me, so I look at you. Bob says to treat them as mothers.
Yeah.
Right? That's why I say a woman shouldn't be offended. I treat her like a mother.
Right.
I sure do. I'll honor that lady. Thank God for her. Amen. I pick on my mother-in-law way more than I pick on anybody else, but I honor her.
Yes, sir.
And I do pick on her a lot. Probably too much, but I pick on her a lot. especially in church.
Amen.
Are we doing okay?
Amen.
So we go, what's he wasting time for?
We're still in the manure pile.
Sir.
Those slanderous, backbiting, gossiping tongue. Thing is, we don't say it, so therefore it's not done.
That's right.
Amen. I watched one of them up there at Black Creek. Couldn't get the head out of the phone. I thought maybe they had, you know, narcolepsy or something. What's that when you fall asleep all the time? What's that disease you fall asleep?
Lazy.
Narcolepsy. Glad I got that right. So, as soon as I said that, I'm like, I hope I saw the other weird thing. Anyway. My wife said, somebody told her, somebody was updating the services while they're going on. I mean, boy, there's power in that, isn't there? I said, the guy doing the altar call, you know. Look at all these people on the altar. Man, the power of God's here.
That's right.
Click. I'm going to get that on Twitter real quick. Well, you know. Power of God was there. It'd be on your face.
Amen.
Right.
Not on your phone. Amen. Or gossip, lie, deceive, backbite. The Bible is a busy body. You know what he said? To study, to be quiet.
Sir.
Right.
And to do, somebody help me out with this, your own business.
That's right.
Study. Well, Sammy used to use that when kids would annoy him.
Oh, yeah.
Little boy would be pestered by the Sammy out. He'd say, son, I got a verse for you to memorize. Study to be quiet. And one little boy in Philly, he's like, oh, that's a really good verse, Brother Al. I like that verse a lot. I know. My dad used to use that verse. And Brother Al goes, son, I said, study to be quiet. Amen. And to do your own business.
Right.
You know why? You have enough trouble keeping your own life straight. Let alone keeping somebody else's life straight. You know, one of the labors of ministry is you really do have to try to help people keep their lives straight. Without gossiping, without backbiting, without slander, without being a busybody. You have to do that. And it's a labor, and it's a heaviness, and it's a sorrow.
Right.
And there's people that do it, and they love it. I said, they love it. They love failure.
That's right.
You know why? Because their deeds are evil.
That's right.
They love when somebody that touts this Christianity, they love it when they falter. You know why? Because their own deeds are so evil.
That's right.
They are that model Christian.
That's right.
They are that model Christian.
That's exactly right.
Oh, here's so-and-so. They did this, 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 and this. And they just secretly in their heart, like, oh, man, I knew he wouldn't make it. I knew she wouldn't. I knew she was a big fake. I knew he was a phony.
That's right.
Isn't hindsight always wonderful? Isn't it wonderful? I knew they weren't real. I knew they were in it for the money. I knew they had various problems. Do your own business. Lest you fall short of the grace of God. But like me, coming in here, just on appearance, just judge you. Look at you and find fault, and then judge you based on that alone, how vile, how wicked that is. It's vile. Well, Zach, I was up at 3:30 this morning. And rest assured this, I know what he talks about, I wasn't spiritual. There was no glory at 3:30 in the morning. Couple cans of Diet Mountain Dew, things started picking up. Amen. People say, is that spiritual? No. Where's hell? I didn't get spiritual about 6 o'clock. About 6:15, I was ready to go to bed. It took me 2.5 hours to figure out my own business this morning. It took about 2.5 hours to straighten up the mess I caused yesterday, my exhaustion, my weariness, and children fighting and screeching and yelling and me and mama fussing. It took me 2.5 hours to straighten that out with God.
That's right.
I didn't have time for your business. And the reason you have time frame is business is you have to straighten yourself out with God. That's why.
Right.
Boy, it's good right there.
Amen.
Well, hanky wave. Amen. Spend some time on your own business. You wouldn't have time for other people. There's probably more in there with the burning, but I think we got through the hot part. Some of that stuff's old. That's an old dried up manure. Yeah. I think we're okay.
That's right.
I think we're okay. So he wants a title for the CD. It's called Zacchaeus and the Manure Pit. Okay, kind of a two-part message.
Good. All right.